Church. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you, Lord, that we are still rejoicing in the light and bright joy and peace of the Easter season. May it go with us all through the year. Remind us, Lord, that we do serve a risen Savior. Remind us that we can be victorious in life and in death. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. Meet with us now and have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and sing number 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Redeemed me for his own, but I know. is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing us of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I invite you to join with me now in the Apostles' Creed. Shall we unite our hearts and voices in this historic confession of our Christian faith? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God?
We go this Thursday to meet with an oncologist with Alice, so I would ask that you keep her in your prayers, that all would be positive.
And remember Larry also.
Yeah.
Yes. We mentioned it's good to have Shirley back with us. They've postponed Brad's surgery. Do keep them in your prayers. Any others? As music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your love and for your grace for us. Lord, we're not here this morning because of who we are. We're not here because we're so good. We're not necessarily here because we've had a great and wonderful week. We're here today because we've got a God who loves us unconditionally. There's nothing that we can do that would change your love for us. We're here today, Lord, because you've promised that your grace would be sufficient in our weakness. And we need that grace and strength so much in our lives. We're here today, Lord, because there's no way in the world that we could ever repay you for your marvelous love for us. For Jesus coming to earth, being born in that Bethlehem manger, dying on Calvary's cross, and then rising again, to guarantee that each day of our life we can be victorious. Even in death, we can celebrate the fact that our God is indeed able. Thank you, Lord. We pray today that you'd be with all of those who are going through times of difficulty, whether it be health issues, whether it be relationships or jobs, whether it be so many of the uncertainties of life that seem to crowd in on us. Just be with each one today. We pray especially for all of our leaders, local, state, national, world. Lord, this world seems to be coming unglued, and more than ever, we need your help and your strength. We pray that you would be with the families of those junior hockey players in Saskatchewan. We pray that you would be with those who were in the van incident in Germany. We pray, Lord, that you would be with those who are facing so many of the uncertainties in this world. There are people today who are in fear for their lives. There are people today who are plotting acts of terrorism. There are people today who don't know where their next meal's coming from. There are people today, Lord, who don't know what's going on in this body of theirs. They need your healing touch. They need your peace and your presence. Be with them, Lord. Remind us that we have the opportunity to share your loving grace in so many ways. We pray today that you'd be with our troops around the globe. Watch over them, Lord. Keep them safe. Be with their families during this time of separation. May they feel your presence. Meet with us now, Lord. Fill our hearts to overflowing with your love and grace, that we might leave this place ready to share the overflow with our brothers and sisters everywhere. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we are so blessed. We pray now that you'd bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Please sing with us number 522, Leave It There.
Seated. How many of you would say that's a brand new song for me, preacher? All right. It's been years and years and years since I've sang that one, but I got to looking at the lyrics to that and I thought that fits so well what we're going to be talking about this morning. So I figured it was time we learned a new one for many of us. Our scripture this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your paths. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Clayton and Austin. We appreciate that so much. In just over 4 months, we have celebrated, and you'll notice in your sermon outline there that celebrated is in italics and quotes and has a question mark after it. We've celebrated Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and Easter. But for a great many people, any or all of these might well have been times of worry, discouragement, or defeat, rather than occasions for joy. Today we're going to begin a post-Easter sermon series on why Easter can make such a difference in our lives. It's entitled, Because He Lives, and then each week the last part will change. We'll look at a different area of our lives where having a risen Savior should make a difference for you and for me. This week and next week are going to be very closely related. This week we're going to be looking at worry. I may be preaching to the choir, but we don't have any worriers here, do we? And next week we're going to be talking about stress. Now, you might say, well, that's not for me. I'm easygoing. I'm laid back. I'm cool. Everything's fine. But I would propose to you this morning that if you have children, if you don't have children, if you have children still at home, or children who have left home, if you're married, if you have pets, if you're not a multi-billionaire, or even if you are a multi-billionaire, if you live in the United States of America, or if you live anywhere else in the world, you've probably got worry and you've probably got stress both. So hopefully there will be something in this series that will speak to you. Today we're talking about because He lives, we can win over worry. Today let's begin and end today's sermon with a song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to refer to it. The first song was written by Bobby McFerrin back in 1988. You probably remember it. It says, in every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. The landlord says your rent is late and he may have to litigate. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no guy or girl to make you smile. Don't worry, be happy. Because when you worry, your face will frown and it will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Worry is kind of like fog. We see a lot of that around here. It amazes me driving all the way in from Louisville. There are sometimes I'll leave home and the sky will be bright blue, and then somewhere along the way on Pellissippi or on I-40, all of a sudden I'll go down into a dip and everything's fogged in. Come up on the other side and the sun's shining bright blue again. Worry clouds our perception until we don't know which way to turn. Let's think about the idea of fog. A number of years ago, at 3 o'clock on a Friday morning, I was driving a semi-tractor trailer across Interstate 4 in Central Florida through a very dense fog. I could not safely drive over 35 miles an hour, and sometimes that was pushing it. I knew that somewhere along the right side there of Interstate 4 between Lakeland and Tampa, there were truck scales. And I was watching closely for him. I had the windshield wipers going, and I was watching out there. And finally, out my passenger window, I saw the lights of the truck scale as I drove by them. I had no idea where the scales were before that or where I was. Another time, when I was about 10 years old, I was with my family on a vacation at Cape Cod. One morning, it was all fogged in. Couldn't see a thing. My family went out for a walk along the beach. As we walked there along the seashore, there was a brick building not much bigger than the church office. And we found out as we walked through the fog that on top of that building were the fog horns that they used to sound so the ships would know that they were getting close to shallow water and to land. As we walked by this building, those fog horns sounded, you know, bah! Now, those fog horns were meant to sound to ships miles out in the ocean. You can imagine how they sounded from 50 feet away. The peace and tranquility of that morning was shattered because of the fog. There's an interesting fact about fog that you may or may not realize. Let's say we went from Gateway Avenue to Kingston, what is it, Road, Avenue, Pike, Boulevard? Avenue, okay. From Gateway to Kingston and from Dunn Road right out here on the side all the way down to Rockwood Street. Okay, you got those boundaries there? Let's say we went up 100 feet and we filled that whole area in with fog. Do you know how much water is in that whole area, 100 feet deep? If we filled it with fog, you know how much water it would take? Actually, it wouldn't take this much. This is 16 ounces. It'd only take half of it. 8 ounces of water is all we've got in all that fog. Such a little insignificant thing that can make such a big difference. We're going to be talking about how we can live victoriously because He lives. There's a Greek proverb that says, the bow will break if it's always kept bent. If we're continually worrying and continually under stress, sooner or later, we're likely to snap. Do you realize that in the last 10 years, suicides among people under 30 have increased 300%? Dr. Charles Mayo of the Mayo Clinic said, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. He said, I've never known a person who died from overwork, but I've known many who died from stress and worry. The Mayo Clinic says that between 80 and 85% of people they treat are ill because of mental stress. The National Mental Health Committee says that more than half of the people in America's hospitals are constant worriers. Have you ever listened to the commercials on television for the different medications? You know, does the back of your hand itch a little bit? Well, here's this medication, it'll take care of that. But here's what else it may do to you. And they take longer telling about all of the complications and all of the side effects and everything else than they do about what the medication can do for you. We're told that mental distress can lead to migraines, arthritis, heart trouble, cystitis, colitis, backaches, depression, digestive disorders, and even death. Add to that list the mental fatigue of nights without sleep and days without peace, and we get a glimpse of the destructive power of worry in the quality and quantity of life. Whew. Go ahead and worry, if you dare. Metropolitan Life Insurance Company has a leaflet on fatigue. It says worry, tenseness, and emotional upsets are the three biggest causes of fatigue. Remember that a tense muscle is a working muscle. The story is told that death was walking toward the city one morning, and a man asked, "What are you going to do in the city?" And death replied, I'm going to take 100 people. Well, the man rushed on ahead into the city to warn the people what was going to happen. That evening, he encountered death again. And he said, you told me that only 100 people were going to die. How come 1,000 people died? Death replied, oh, I only took 100. Worry took the rest of them. It happens. Peppermint Patty, to go a little bit lighter with this, Peppermint Patty did a report on daytime and nighttime. She said, daytime is so you can see where you're going. Nighttime is so you can worry. Worry is a disease of the heart that signals a lack of faith. Worry interferes with God's ability to provide. When we allow our problems to overshadow God's promises, we doom ourselves to defeat. Folks, this is not God's plan. Someone said, release the regrets of yesterday, refuse the fears of tomorrow, and receive the peace of today. In short, let go and let God. Somebody wrote, as children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched them back and cried, how can you be so slow? My child, he said, what could I do? You never did let go. Let's look at some ways that you and I can live above worry. How can we be less stressed in this world that we're living in? The answer is in our text this morning, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your paths. We've got four action words here. Trust, depend, seek, direct. The first three verbs are commands. This is what you and I are supposed to do. This is our responsibility. It's our responsibility to trust the Lord. It's our responsibility not to depend on our own understanding. It's our responsibility to seek God. The first three verbs are what we have to do. The fourth verb is a promise. It represents God's responsibility. It says he will direct our paths. If we do the first three things, God will take care of the rest. In two short verses, look here, it's either said or implied seven times. You and your. You trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you do not depend on your own understanding. You seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your paths. Mm-hmm. How we respond to life's situation is our choice. Proverbs reminds us that life does have problems. And there will be dark days. There'll be questions that we can't answer. But it's not what happens to us, it's what happens in us that makes all the difference. He said it's our responsibility to focus on God. What's involved in trusting God with all our heart? First of all, negatively, we do not depend on our understanding. I am not the source of my answers and my strength. Positively, we seek God in all areas of our lives. Not in some or in most of the ways, in all our ways. or to seek God. To cope with worry and stress, we need to look at five words here. First of all, the word trust. It's total dependence and submission. When we trust God with all of our heart, we take our past, present, and future and say, God, it's all yours. It's in your hands. The word heart, this is the inner person, the center of intellect and emotion. We put our total trust in God, giving him everything. Third word is understanding. This is our own limited perspective. The Hebrew text says, upon your own understanding, do not lean. What does that mean? Don't turn first to our limited viewpoints. We're very often in a mental or spiritual fog. We can't tell which way to go. Fourth, we seek, we acknowledge, we rely. We devote all of our energy, we put all our weight into. The word lean is used in some translations here. Lean is used in Judges 16, where it says, you remember after Samson, he'd been blinded, he was taken captive, his hair had been cut off, he had lost his strength, and finally his hair grew back, he got his strength back. And he asked to be taken to the center pillars that held up the temple. It said he put all of his energy on those pillars. The same word is used here. We're to put all of our weight. We're to totally lean on God. John Stallings wrote the chorus that we're going to sing in a couple of minutes that says, learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Folks, we can't make it on our own. The fifth word is direct, to go before, to prepare the way. In the Hebrew here, there is a feeling of intensity. It's a picture of God going ahead of us in those situations about which we're so inclined to worry. God's going ahead of us to prepare the way. Don't sweat it. Three observations. This promise here is for everyone who worries. Now, there are going to be people here who say, well, preacher, you don't know about the worries that I have. That's right. I don't. But if you and I leave here this morning with worries, it's because we're not relying on God. Secondly, we need to realize that God can do his part only if we first do our part. Our responsibility is to give those worries over to God. And thirdly, God can handle every area of our lives. The word all appears twice in this verse. Verse 5, trust the Lord with what? Trust him with all our heart. Verse 6, in what? In all we do, in every area of our lives, God can handle these problems if we dare to trust him. Okay, like I said, we'll start and end with a song. The last song was written over 80 years ago by Bertha May Lillenis. It says, sometimes our skies are cloudy and dreary, sometimes our hearts are burdened with care, but we may know whate'er may befall us, Jesus is always there. Lo, I am with you, always is written. God will not fail to answer our prayers. Trusting his word, we rest in his promise. Jesus is always there. Never a burden that he does not carry, never a sorrow that he does not share. Whether the days may be sunny or dreary, Jesus is always there. In case you want to practice to get ready for next Sunday, we'll be talking about because he lives, we can handle stress. So if stress comes your way this week, just think of it as preparation for next Sunday. I did my homework, preacher. Boy, am I stressed. Okay, and we will look at that, and we will celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed alive. And because he lives, we'll fill in the blanks. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Lord, for that song that says, he holds the future in the palm of his hand, so why should I worry or fret? Remind us that you're in charge, you're in control. Remind us nothing is going to happen to us this week that us and God together can't handle. You're bigger than anything we're going to face, Lord. May we dare to trust you completely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please sing with us two times, number 534, the chorus, Learning to Lean.
During the singing and during the sermon, I thought, boy, I'm having trouble breathing. I figured out why. If y'all don't take your lilies home today, next Sunday it may take me 3.5 hours to get enough breath to go get through the sermon. So do remember, they're here, they're yours. Whether you bought them or not, if you didn't and there's some left, go ahead and take them. You may have some friends that are bedridden or in the nursing home or somewhere. They'd love to have them. Do take them. Now may you leave this place knowing that your God is in control, knowing that his power and his grace are sufficient for you. Go into the world. Show them that because he lives, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yep.